In the house of God, turn to Luke chapter 8 tonight. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. You got your Bible? We're looking at Luke, St. Luke chapter 8, verse number 5. The Bible said, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang with it, up with it, and choked it. Another fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Not everybody does have ears to hear unless God opens your ears to hear. And we'll see in the scripture tonight that he said, the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. I will preach tonight, God to help me on his seed. Now in the scripture here in verse 5, he said a sower went out to sow his seed. It is his seed tonight. It's God's seed. The sower was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he went out to sow. Now we find here there's several different types of ground that the seed fell on. I want to say this, that there wasn't no problem in the seed. The problem was where it fell. If you look in the scripture, it said some fell by the wayside. Some fell upon a rock. Some fell among the thorns. And then others fell on good ground. Another passage in one of the gospels said it fell in two. And so it's got to get in you. The seed of the word of God. We find in the scripture tonight that anything that's ever come into existence, a man was brought by seed. And apart from Adam, he was created by the hand of God. But through and by the seed, men come into this world. The Bible said Jesus, thank God, was born into this world, conceived by the Holy Ghost. You see, the same way Jesus was born, it's the same way you're born again. It takes the Spirit of God to plant the incorruptible seed in the womb of your heart. That's what God had to do to the Virgin Mary, who knew not a man, but was expecting with the Son of God that the Holy Ghost put within her the incorruptible seed, which is Christ, the living word. And we know tonight, thank God, the living word is manifested through the written word. The written word alone don't save. It's got to be manifested through the Holy Ghost, the what's written in the scripture, to make it known to them that hear the gospel. You just take, believe, unless God opens your heart to believe and know the mystery of the gospel. See, a mystery is something not known unless it's been made known to you and revealed to you. That's why sinners can't get saved. That God makes himself known to them through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible said in the word of God that the seed is incorruptible. The man saying this, the seed of God's a pure seed. It's free of mixture. It's as pure and genuine and unadulterated and true, thank God, as any seed could be. If the seed wasn't perfect, your birth wouldn't be perfect. It had to be a perfect seed for a perfect birth in the new birth. The first time you came in the world, it was by a corruptible seed. And that's why you continually, my friend, have corruption. That's why you have taint. And you have sin. And you have the soul of the flesh. And therefore you're decaying in a natural way. We are decaying. We're born by the corruptible seed. The corruptible seed cannot produce an incorruptible man. It takes something from above, planted in the heart of sinners and not to get saved. God has to do that. You can't do that. God has to do that. God
His seed in you. As much, thank God, as you came by seed into this world of sin, the only way you can get out of this world, thank God, to have another birth. It's got to be by a pure seed, by a perfect seed. It's got to be a perfect birth. And God's the only one that can do that. But not within my temple. Thank God, lies in perfection. That one day I will be perfected. Thank God, in time. But it's already remaining in me. That when he began, he will finish one day. He'll present me faultless before the throne of God. And through it by his seed that remains in me, and produces, thank God, a mature Christian. Amen. And so tonight it's by a seed. I won't say, now is it a pure seed? But it's a preached seed. The sower went out to sow the seed. And the way it's sowed is by the preaching of the Word of God. God said he pleased them by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That a man can't get saved without preaching of the Word of God. It's got to be a word preached, my friend, unto your heart. It don't have to be me preaching it. It can be another man preaching it. But it'll take the Holy Ghost to preaching. And when that seed's planted in a man's heart through the preaching of the Word of God, then men can be saved. They see in this scripture four types of ground. Your heart is one of them grounds. And I will tell you this, if you've never got saved, you're still the same. When you get saved, you have a new heart. You now have fruit in your life. Thank God, you have a new nature. You have a new name. Thank God, you got everything new. Did he not make all things new when he saved you by the power of God? He made everything new, friend. Can you have as new tonight as you ever have been? I don't have to go back, thank God, and find what God done for me then. I can know tonight I'm saved about what he's done for me now, about how he touched my heart today, about his word tonight, my friend. I tell you, thank God, tonight is real. Praise the Lord. And the seed of the Word of God, amen, is in my heart. The Bible said it remains in there. And I'm telling you, it came through the preaching of the Word of God. That's right. Amen. Listen to this. He said, when the first was ground, he said he called it the wayside. He said there, when it was sown, come the devil and take the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The first ground, my friend, is that ground that the seed fell upon. They heard it, but as soon as they heard the devil come and snatched it out of their heart. I want to say this tonight, listen to me. The atmosphere of the Baptist church has a great deal to do with what I just said. If you're cold in the pew, my preaching won't go much too far. I can be on fire for God, but if you're cold in the pew, it won't reach much. It's got the church house ought to be a place, thank God, where there's birth. My friend, it's going to have to be the right temperature. It's got to be the right place. It can't be cold and dead. That don't mean God couldn't work through it, because he is God. But a lot of times the devil, he'll use anything to steal the word of God out of men's hearts, lest they believe and be saved. I'm telling you about the devil comes to church. He don't miss a meeting, amen. I know there's only one devil, but there's a lot of devils with him. There's a lot of evil spirits. There's a lot of things that affect your mind. I'm telling you tonight, friend, you better hear what I'm saying. The devil will do what he can to keep you from hearing the word of God preach, unless you die in your sin, friend. He wants you to die in your sin. But Jesus said, I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly tonight. Amen. That's right. The word of God has to be preached to your heart. The first ground, it was preached, but they the devil took it out of their heart. And then the next one is a ground, like it says, on the rock. And we know that I ain't got a seed that's sown on the rock, don't have no root. And it said they believe a little while. I mean, it's this kind that says, yeah, I believe what the preacher's saying. And I need what he's saying. But I really don't have no root in my heart. I don't have no repentance. I don't have no Holy Ghost conviction that God God got a hold of my heart one day and brought me under Holy Ghost conviction and brought me to repentance. I'm afraid tonight, my friend, a little of him has got a false repentance. Ain't like that man that the Father said, who'll go work in my field. And one said, I will go, but he didn't go. One said, I won't go, but he did go. And he said, the one that went was the one that had repentance. Hey, a repentance is a turn. A repentance is a change. A repentance, my friend and I, ain't going to make you different. A repentance is what God requires. He said it set the man repent. He'll look like last perish. Amen. That's right. Judas had a false repentance. Amen. He went out and hanged himself. Amen. Esau had a false repentance. But when he found out his blessing was gone, he sought repentance carefully with tears. But he didn't find a place for it. You know why he's trying to repent of? Because he lost the blessing. It wasn't that he had sinned against God. A repentance is a turn. It's a gift. It's granted by Almighty God. That when God gives a man repentance, there is a turn. Thank God I'm there tonight. That repentance is a Bible doctrine. A repentance is a must. There's no way about it, friend. Except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. That you offended God Almighty. You broke the law of God. You're going your way. It takes God to turn you around. You can't turn yourself around. It takes the God of heaven to turn you around. Repentance tonight. Thank God. God said, godly Sarah, work of repentance unto salvation. He said, repentance toward God. You know why it's toward God? That's who you offended. You repent toward God. Repentance tonight. There's no root in this man. He's made a literal profession. Maybe he got talked into repeating the prayer. Maybe, my friend, he got talked into the Romans Road. Maybe he got talked into my friend signed his name on a card. But he never got under Holy Ghost conviction. Never had no repentance in his own heart. I told my wife today, I'd sure hate to go to a place that's dead, won't preach. Dead music and dead preaching produces dead professions. It'll produce a dead man. But it won't produce no life. But God said, except you repent, you'll not likewise perish. He said in the scripture, he said that a tower fell on them men. Were they sinners above others? He said, I tell you nay. Except you repent, you'll not likewise perish. God says you have to repent, friend. Have to repent. And like Brother Billy Mitchell says, if you repented then, you're repenting now. If you repented when you got saved, you're still repenting now. It ain't a one-time thing. It's a repentance. Thank God until you get to heaven. Amen. That's right. There ain't no root in that crowd. Ain't no change in them. You know why? There's no root. That's why there's no fruit. If there's no root, there's no fruit. Amen. People say, yeah, I'm saved. But they have no fruit to back it. Listen, friend, I don't produce fruit. You don't produce fruit. You can't produce it. Amen. That's why he said the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that produces fruit in your heart. Amen. Then the next one, ain't good ground. What's that thorny ground? The Bible says, said it fell among thorns, and it said the thorns was the world, and with the cares of this life and the riches and the pressures of this life. You say, preacher, I'm about to give up all these things to get born again. You have to give up what God says give up. I realize, you know, you can't give nothing up unless God gets it out of you. But I'll tell you this, he gets something a whole lot better. Ain't got to a man's heart than what the world's got to offer. There's been a lot of people go to hell because they wouldn't give up their riches. Jesus told the rich ruler, he said, sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me. And he left sorrowful because his riches were great. He wouldn't repent, I'm telling you. Amen. The word of God choked him. That's right. The pleasures of this life life. Amen. Look at all the ball stadiums full on the Lord's Day. Cheering on a bunch of fleshly men that's going to go to hell. Amen. I like athletics. But I'll tell you what, they're not my idols. I worship and serve only living God. Amen. I'm telling you, we're living in a day, friend, where pleasure's got men. Amen. They'd rather pull a boat to the river on the Lord's Day. They'd rather watch a car go around a racetrack. They'd rather, my friend, God told the beast in the mountains on the Lord's Day. I'm telling you what, when God saved me, He gave me desire to be in the house of God. I'm telling you, He didn't have to have a visitation committee. And God to try to find me and get me in the church. Amen. I tell you, I was born again. I want to be a born again people. I tell you, friend, I don't have much confidence. I said, I didn't ask between them and God. When a man says he's saved, that don't love the church. I tell you, I don't believe that. They got born again. They assemble with the church. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Amen. That's right, isn't it? Thank God. Oh, I tell you what I was seeing this afternoon was out. I saw these geese, thank God, they was in a V, brother. And one was leading the way. It's probably about, I got about 20 of them just a flying, Brother Redmond, in a row. And I thought, praise God, them flocks together, amen. Them geese ain't flying, thank God, with the cardinals. They flying with geese, amen. That's exactly right. I'm telling you this, you get born again, you want to fly with the old time way, with the old time truth. Thank God, they won't find you on the Lord's Day trying to fly with the buzzards of this world. They'll find you, thank God, with the flock of flapping your wings and saying, give me the gospel. Preach the Holy Ghost fire in my heart that I might know God. There's too many people going to church, amen, just to say they went. I'll tell you, brother, if that's all I got, thank God, I'd go join the clubs, amen. But I got more than that. I don't come just to say I went, even though I wouldn't want know somebody didn't think I went to the house of God when I professed to know Him. But I'll tell you this, I come because I want to. I come because I need to. I come because I love Him and He loves me. And this is my place in the house of Almighty God. I'm telling you, when that sea fell on that old thorny ground, that stuff choked it out. Them riches and them pleasures and them cares of this life, they said we can't give it up. I'm like Felix. It's not a convenient time. I can't give it up. I'd rather go to hell with this than have Jesus. That's right. Amen, brother. That's right. Amen. Might as well shake your head. You know I'm preaching the truth. Thank God. That's three ground. Next ground was a good ground. Thank God. That's that ground that had a heart that was ready to receive the engrafted word that is able to save them. Let me say this, and that's why I say what I'm going to say. Jesus Christ can save anybody He wants to, when He wants to, and where He wants to. He can do it. Thank God. He's the only one that can. And you were dead as I was dead, depraved as I was depraved. But there's a process God uses to get men to Him. I'm telling you, when Paul got saved, it was the pattern of them hereafter that believe that he had to see the Lord Jesus Christ, that He was the way and the truth. And he said, who art thou, Lord? It's the Lordship of Christ. You bow to His Lordship and He'll be your Savior. Amen. Hey, you can't have a Savior without a Lord. That's right, brother. That thief on the cross that said, save us and save thyself, he wanted to way out. But that one said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He said, Lord, remember me. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Is he your Lord tonight? If he is, thank God, he's your Savior. He said, I'll be, thank God, their Lord and their tongue. But I'll tell you, this God has a process in how he saves men. Amen. I'll tell you what, listen to me tonight. I'm going to tell you why there's no love he'll get saved. Day. Number one, there's not enough power in the church.
Right. Yeah.
Number two, parents are not spanking the children no more.
Right.
And they don't need to try to do it when they get to be teenagers.
Right.
You know what the problem with man is? His will is in bondage to sin and corrupt.
Yeah.
And the only way they can come to submission in Christ is their will be brought to the will of God. And listen,
Jesus said in the Word of God, He said, but as many as receive Him, they're not going to receive Him if they don't receive the authority that's over them. They won't want Him. The Bible said, if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. But thou shalt what? Deliver his soul from hell. Listen, friend. Oh, this little timeout stuff. And I'm going to do this or that. Take your toy truck away. Hey, daughter, your baby doll. And that means girls with baby dolls. Amen. And boys with trucks. That don't mean boys play with baby dolls. If you let your boy play with baby dolls, thank God, you crazy. Amen. I mean, listen, friend, he ought to be a boy and grow up as a boy. We got too many sissies today. Amen. I don't want to chase a rabbit, but I can't help to do it. When I look at this world today, and men want to be women and women want to be men. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, God made it that a man to be a man, woman to be a woman. Amen. I was looking in Deuteronomy the morning, and I got thinking about this, and I looked up the word masculine in the 1828 dictionary. Not this bunch of modern dictionaries they defiled by a bunch of liberal professors that wouldn't know God if he walked in the middle of the road before them. I'm talking about Webster's dictionary, 1828. Thank God the original. Hey man, listen to what he said about masculine. He said having the qualities of a man, strong, robust, resembling man, coarse, opposed to delicate or soft. Oh, I could hit some things right there and rip her out of the socket. But I'll refrain from it because I don't know if you can take it or not. But I'll tell you what, anything that a man puts on that resembles a woman, it's an abomination in the sight of a holy God. I'm telling you, when you treat your boys like they're a little girl and not in soft, I'm telling you, it's abomination. You might as well tell them to go on to hell. Hey, oh, don't use a rod on their back end. Hey, friend, I'm telling you what. My daddy and mama was lost when I was a young boy. But they had principle about them. They knew how to use a belt and a switch. They got on my back end. If they hadn't been in the crazy house tonight, I'd have drove them plumb crazy. Amen. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm talking about you. Using the rod of correction to drive foolishness from them. Amen. That's right. Listen to what it says about feminine. It says pertaining to a woman, soft, tender, delicate, destitute of manly qualities. Amen. That's right, brother. Thank God. Amen. I don't want my wife looking like a man, acting like a man. That's right. You say, well, she's just a tom girl. Well, thank God she needs to change the tom. Thank God to Teresa. Amen. That's exactly right. Praise God. Amen. You don't know why we live in this hour, friend, where they want to raise children like that. You know why? I'm going to tell you who's to blame. It's the parents to blame tonight. They're trying to make children the way they want to be instead of what God wants them to be. And when you turn them into that, ain't God, I looked it up. A lot of things on this. I thought about this. When a man will not be a man, he's giving up his authority. Amen. He's the head, thank God. I was looking up that word breeches. It says a garment worn by men covering the hip and the thighs, and it was used for trousers. Amen. And listen, friend, a woman's dress is to cover the body and be modest. And men to have short hair, and women to have long hair. And a woman's to be meek and quiet, and a man's to be the leader. And the women wear some jewelry, and the men don't wear none. Amen. I mean, they don't wear, thank God, their wife's earrings. Amen. Thank God, I tell you tonight, we live in a day and time. We wonder why they can't get born again. Well, the process of God Almighty is, thank God, that boy needs to be called a boy. That girl needs to be called a girl. And brother, I'm telling you this, they ought to get a spanking once in a while. I'll tell you, I got once in the morning, a while at night. Hey, when I cut up, it wasn't long. Thank God, I was going to the judgment house. Amen. That's right. You say, well, my children don't need no spankings. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know what eyes you're looking through.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. It wouldn't take one time my dad to spank. Mama said, he's a coming home, son. You're going to face the judgment. Amen. That's right, boy. I'll tell you what, I was scared to death, son. Yeah.
I mean, I knew he's going to put the paddle on my back end. Thank God. He said, he's walking in. He's got home work, tired and sweating. And I come in that house, and I've been cutting up and acting a fool. And my mama said, all right, boy, I done spanked you. But when your daddy gets in, he's going to hear the news. And he'd come in half mad. Hey, man. He'd come in and say, she'd say, he's been cutting up again. He said, get in that room, boy. I mean, he bent me over that bed, son. He didn't. Hey, I was done fake crying before we ever got in there. Oh, daddy, don't do it. Don't do it. Son, it didn't move him a bit. He just went and laid the leather out. Hey, you know what? I'd let him give me one tonight since I'm preaching on it. Thank God, burned my hide. Amen. I probably didn't get enough. My brother didn't get half I got. That's right. You know why? He's a baby. Amen. That's right. Most of the time when they're the babies, they don't get as many. Thank God as the older boy does because he's the first one. They run a trial on him. But I thank God for every spanking, every whooping I ever got. I'm telling you, God used that to drive a bunch of pooses out of me. If it hadn't been, I'd liable to be on my road to hell tonight. I'm just saying, you want the word of God to fall on good ground? Thank God, take all that mess you got in the room out and tell them, thank God, that they need to be hunger for God. I'm telling you, I know young people don't think the way we do and don't expect them to. They're not going to be us, but I'll tell you what, them little boys and little girls are coming up. If you give them everything they want, you'll end up shooting the hell. That's right, buddy. Amen. He got everything. I got the little clip in here. I don't know why the Lord's got me on. I was going to go ahead and preach it anyhow. Amen. It don't matter who's here and who ain't. It says technology overloads kids. Old Brother Shaver sent me this. Kids used to sleep with teddy bears. Now 78% of 12 and 13 year olds who own cell phones have gone nighty night with them at their sides. That figures to 86% among teens 14 and older. And young women take things even further. 21% of those 18 through 34 check Facebook in the middle of the night. God help. We wonder why the power of God ain't in our lives or in the church. Amen. And why children's growing up don't want to listen to the man of God when he preaches. And they look at him like he's some crazy man. And they can't even get them things out of their mind. And what it's done is it's grabbed hold of them. And when the word of God's sowed, it don't get nowhere. It's choked out. It's falling on rocks. The devil's stealing. I'm telling you, you got to be. And I know God can break through who he wants to. Thank God he walked on. I won't walk in the Gadara one day. There's a man there, brother, that was full of devils. Didn't even have no clothes on. Thank God. Cut himself. No man could tame him. Thank God. Probably tattooed up. Amen. And that's of the devil too. Amen. I mean, brother, God didn't save you to mark your skin up and look like a heathen. A lot of these black people brought that in through the athletic world. And it's a shame white people want to fall after it. Amen, Preacher Hatch. I'm telling you, the culture of this day is gone plumb corrupt. And I don't blame the black folk. I blame the white folk. I think they'll arrest it, whether black or white. I'm going around the drawers hanging the ground with boxer shorts on the pants down below the rear end. Thank God they ought to run them out, put them in the jail, and give them a class on how to dress and wear their hat. Amen. That's right. We wonder today why they won't hear the word of God. That man come to Jesus. He was possessed by 2,000 devils. He was possessed with devils. Are you listening to me? He was possessed, friend. He was naked. No man could tame him. And he was up in them graveyards cutting himself and running through them tombs. He couldn't have been reached, my friend, unless the Lord came by, Brother Keith. And Jesus, thank God, got off the ship that day. And that man came and the devil spoke through him. They knew who the sovereign God was. They knew who Jesus was. And they said, torment us not. They knew he was going to cast them out. That's why they wanted to get them hauled. Amen. And them hogs going to get in the sea. And that's exactly what happened when he cast them out. Thank God they ran violently down that hill into the lake. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
And that man never had to go as a psychiatrist.
No.
He sat at the feet of Jesus' clothes. He put his clothes on. Amen. Didn't run around naked trying to show himself.
Right.
He's clothed. He's in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. He couldn't have been saved unless the Lord saved him. Can I tell you this tonight? You couldn't have been saved unless the Lord saved you. But I'll tell you, there is a process in getting the ground ready for the seed to be sown on. And it don't start when they're 30 years old, my friend. Brother Redmond, you know this. Your daddy and mama was principled people that made you work and made and disciplined you. I didn't say we had perfect homes. Neither one of them was saved when we got saved. But I'll tell you this. They knew how to use a paddle. And they knew, thank God, family principles. Thank God that they wouldn't let you run out like a wild Comanche and tie the dog at night and let you run wild. Amen. They said, you got certain rules you're going to go by, and if you don't like it, we'll enforce them. Amen. But we're living in our friend. Thank God we're people that are living for the flesh. And that's what y'all live for if you're lost, because you don't have God. But I'll tell you this, there ought to be some reception on good ground that they could be saved. I'll tell you why it's hard for people to get saved this day. There's not much good ground to preach to no more. It's like the days of Noah. It was the days of Noah. Thank God that they wouldn't hear the preacher of righteousness. And that's why I'm telling you, these educators today, this about made me sick. They trying to explain the Bible. They wouldn't know God nor the Bible. It ain't a book that's been explained. It's a book that's been revealed by the Holy Ghost. And a man will never get saved if God gives it to him in his heart. And he reveals it to him. It's got to be his seed anyhow. It's a pure seed. It's a preaching seed. It's a prophetic seed. It's prophecy been fulfilled in the Son of God coming this world. I'm telling you, Brother Robert, you said it right last night when you said, I'm glad God's for me. Amen. I said, praise God. When I got off, I said, he was for me at Calvary. Amen. That's right. Thank God he was for you at Calvary when he gave himself. It's a powerful seed that brings forth birth. It's a productive seed. It's evidence. Ain't fruit from it. It's a permanent seed that remains in you. It don't leave you. You don't get saved one day and lost the next. If you really get born again, then you thank God till you leave out. You got to have it or you won't get out. Amen. That's right. Boy, I'm glad. Boy, I've got to. If I could pick this pulpit up tonight, I'd do it. I ain't got to hold it on my head and say, thank God there's something in me that's going to get me out of this world. It's going to get me out of the graveyard. It's going to get my loved ones out. Hey, praise God, brother. Thank God it's going to get you out. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm telling you, we got something in us. Thank God that'll never leave us. And we can't deny himself. He'll testify in your holy power and the Holy Ghost in your heart. Let you know you're one of his. Kiss you with his presence. Love you in them times. I'll tell you what I've got tonight that we serve. And that's because of the seed that remains in us. Amen. That's right. That's why I thank God the seed remains in you. It's a precious seed too. He that goeth forth sowing precious seed. You know, it's precious gospel. Amen. You never got saved. You hadn't heard it.
That's right.
That's right. And it fell on the good ground of your heart.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, Brother Redmond, listen to me. You know what brings the good ground? Them things I preached about children, them prayers of the saints in the house of God that waters the altar with tears. Thank God that sees the holy. That Sunday night service we had around here when people was weeping and there was a good boy, I could have sown a bushel of seed on that, but I didn't have to. The Holy Ghost seed it. Amen. That's right. It's his seed. It's his seed, friend. It's not mine. My seed's corrupt. Amen. My works is corrupt. Baptism couldn't sow that. It had to be the Holy Ghost through the Word of God. God, the Word of God is the seed, and that seed's got to be sowed on the soul of your heart. Amen. And it don't come up all at once. You say, preacher, when the seed gets sown in your heart? You know what? I don't know if I can answer that. I tell you, I don't really know. I know when the gospel got attracted to me, when I got lost and I needed him. But I believe that seed was sown a long time ago. When you go out and witness to some sinner out there at Walmart, or you witness to a family member, I ain't got to give them the Word of God. God, you know what you're doing? You're sowing precious seed. You're sowing the seed. And God uses that seed. He brings a preacher back. Thank God some sowed and some in watered. But one day God gives increase and puts something in a man's heart and births him in the family of God. I'll tell you, friend, it's a whole a lot involved in it. It takes seed sowing. It takes water I encourage you. That's why we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's right. If you go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, if it's a good, I ain't got a good a track with just scripture on it, inviting people to the house of God, if it's you witnessing them of what God's done for you, I ain't got, if it's my friend being a thank God, giving them a pamphlet on the revival meeting and saying the Lord is good, you don't know what God can take just a little word. It don't matter. Listen, you don't have to preach a sermon. Ain't many people going to listen to that anyway. But I'll tell you what, if they do, go ahead and have at it. But I'll tell you what, just that word. Thank God, I'll tell you, I've had men say things to me before. It's like Brother Robert done a night on the phone. It probably didn't mean nothing much to him. But when he told me that and we was talking, I said, the Lord's good. He said, he sure is. I'm glad the Lord's on my side, brother. It was like glory hit my soul. I got off that phone and I thought, praise God, that's a message. The Lord's on my side. He's on my side at Calvary. He's on my side at the empty tomb. He's on my side seated by the right hand of God. He's on my side. Amen. I'm glad I'm on his too. But I'll tell you what, you never know. In a day's time, praise God, if you'll be Holy Ghost filled and lift up the Lord and sow the word of God, what it really will do. Trust, you don't know. So I don't really know. I can't tell you for sure when the word of God was really sown in my heart. Because I remember my grandpa preaching when I was a little old boy. And I remember him weeping tears walking the aisle preaching. And I sat in that congregation. Amen. That's right. I remember going to them crusades and hearing preaching. I remember sitting at a Baptist church in Salisbury. I went there to play softball and that preacher got everybody in there and I sat right back on the sixth row. He got up and said, boys and girls, I want to talk to you today. I was probably about 15 years old. He said, there's a heaven and a hell. And he said, you're going to one of them. And he said, the only way you can get out of hell is through Jesus Christ. I remember him saying that. It affected me some. Ain't God. You know what? That old brother Stedman took the word of God and he sowed and he watered. That's the way God does in everybody's life. I'm just saying, hey God, if it falls on good ground, it'll be because that seed, my friend, got into the ground and it brought forth the birth. It brought forth fruit. That's what it says. I want to tell you, it's his seed. He said he sowed his seed. He don't sow another gospel. Now let me tell you something tonight, and I know some people might discredit this, but it don't matter what I'm about to say. Now I know God's not limited. And God can do what He wants to or what He wants to. But I want to say this tonight. He honors the true gospel. He don't honor a prosperity gospel. Can I give you this? We don't live in a prosperous day for us things. The gospel's not built around that.
Right.
The gospel's built around Christ and heavenly things. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We have a spiritual kingdom because we have a spiritual birth. The Jews was naturally born into the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, naturally born into the nation of Israel was blessed people because of their earthly birth. We're born into the family of God because of a spiritual birth. And we're blessed people because of that.
Amen. Right.
But it all come by seed. And it was his seed. And his seed remains in you tonight. And if you've ever had a new birth and been born again, it's because he done it. It's not because you've done it. That's why we ought not push people to make a profession.
Amen. Yeah. You're right.
That little old boy Larry, he wasn't going to come no sooner than what God brought him.
Right. No. That's right.
There had to be a process.
Sure.
I believe sometimes people come to rededicate their life and they get born again. You know why I believe that? Because there's an enlightenment of God, there's a quickening, and there's repentance and faith. But a man's awakened and enlightened about his soul and truth, and then through that process, God brings life.
Yeah.
You say, when's a child a child at conception? When's one born again? When the Word of God's conceived in his heart? His seed remains in us. It's his seed. Are you born again? Are you born again? You must be born again. You must be born again. Let's stand in line. The grace says you're hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God.